Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine Food Friday, February 9th. I'm Ray Graff. Even though some of the rivers and lakes in our region may be frozen, there are many ways to enjoy tasty seafood dishes. And here to answer your questions are the good folks from Finn in Guilderland, New York. Coming right up, Food Friday favorite Rob Handel joins Dora Swan to answer your questions about seafood. Give us a call. Get in line. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Or you may email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number on this call-in program, 800-348-2551. Fish, lobster roll, crab cake. Your calls coming up on Vox Pop Food Friday right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Welcome to this seafood edition of Food Friday. And in the studio to answer your questions, our show veteran Rob Handel and a newcomer, Dora Swan of Finn in Guilderland, New York. Dora is a proprietor of Finn, your fishmonger, a fresh, sustainable seafood shop. The business started in 2010 with sales to area restaurants, as well as setting up stands at local farmers markets and parking lots before they opened their brick-and-mortar shop 2 years later. Finn sells fresh seafood, which arrives from Boston a day or two out of the water, and has a restaurant with lobster rolls, crab cakes, soups, and fish and chips alongside a raw bar. And the newest member of the team is Chef Rob Handel. Rob and Dora, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, great to have you here. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You may also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number here is 800-348-2551. Before we get started on Finn, Rob Handel, this is you're not usually in this milieu.
No, this is a bit of a new venture for me. So we started in December. I joined the team at Finn and spent a couple weeks getting familiarized with what's happening there and settling in a bit. And we took off from there. So we've been planning a few special events that are coming up. One is next week. We have a 5-course tasting dinner next Sunday. We just sold out this morning.
Wow, that's great.
We'll be having more in the upcoming months. We're planning a seafood brunch. That'll be a monthly event. And some other things. So yeah.
Things are going along swimmingly, right? Right?
One might say,
right?
Yeah.
All right, Dora Swan, tell us about Finn and how it began.
Well, long ago in a land far, far away, my life and business partner, Peter Kenyon, worked in heating, ventilation, and air conditioning management.
So it's a logical step, then.
Isn't it, though?
Yes.
And he transitioned out of that work, which is the kind way to say that it was during that time that folks were losing their jobs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one day we were sitting out on our back porch with our future son-in-law, who was the head fish buyer and fishmonger at the Cousins Fish Market, which many people in may remember. That's where everybody went for their seafood back in the day. You know, if you were having a clam bake or whatever in the backyard, you went to the Cousins.
Sure.
So we were sitting out on the back porch, and Pete and Andy were saying, geez, wouldn't it be great if we opened a fish store?
And what did you say?
Well, we thought, yeah, that's a really great idea. So we began looking around for a place to be and couldn't really find anything perfect. So the guys started wholesaling to some area restaurants, which went well. And then one of my colleagues suggested that we try farmers markets. Well, who buys oysters at a farmer's market?
I don't know.
Apparently, some people did. We showed up at the Del Mar Farmer's Market and set up our stand the next week. There was a line 20 minutes long for our seafood, which was awesome. And we thought at that point, this is really resonating with people. So it just kind of built from there. And then a couple of years after our experience continued at the Del Mar Farmers Market, that community was so so warm and welcoming of us that we built up enough capital to be able to open our own shop in Guilderland,
but not in Del Mar. So.
That's right. We looked at a number of places in Del Mar, but it never kind of panned out. So we ended up in Guilderland.
Well, that's great. And things are going well. And I know Rick Orlando was on last week, and he mentioned you guys. I've not been to Finn, but a lot of people say it's quite a wonderful place.
Thank you.
First of all, before we get too far in the program.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about your lobster roll. This is a key thing for us. I texted my wife saying that we're going to talk about lobster rolls, and she was quite upset that she's not here. But She loves the Maine lobster rolls. So tell us about yours.
Well, we have two lobster rolls. One is a brown butter vinaigrette lobster roll, and that's warm.
No mayo.
Not on that one, no.
Okay, That's a bone of contention for some.
It is. And we make our own rolls for that has some seasoning in it and a nice crunchy salty top. You'll actually get to taste that today.
Oh, really?
Unless you want to take it home for your wife.
No way.
Because now it's out.
No,
she's going to know.
This is a secret. No, she won't be listening. It's fine. It's fine.
So then the other lobster roll that we have is a cold lobster roll, and it does have a little bit of mayo on it. Not a lot of mayo, because that just takes away from the flavor of the lobster. And it has a citrus fennel slaw that it sits on. So it's a little different than the mayo lobster roll. So would you like to try one?
We'll try it during the first break.
During
I don't like to
break.
Talk and
All
eat
right,
at the same
okay.
time. So what have you learned, Rob, since you've taken this job in December?
Oh, well, quite a bit. You know, I've cooked seafood for quite a while personally, and not so much at my last job, which was very
tripe-oriented.
Very tripe-oriented.
Yes.
At times. So what I've really been learning a lot about at Finn are some of the sustainability issues around seafood and some of the sourcing. You know, something that really motivates me is knowing as much as I can about the ingredients and using that to inform the cooking. So, you know, one of the big missions that we have at Finn is to be providing sustainable seafood, meaning that if somehow the harvesting of a certain, you know, species is detrimental to that species, we won't stock it. So I've learned a lot about, you know, what some of those sustainability problems are, how there's workarounds with that. You know, some
it's
of these.
It's not as easy as you might expect.
No, it's not. And, you know, especially people have certain tastes that they've developed from childhood. You know, some people really want eel. And there are some sustainability issues around farmed eel. So we don't stock some of that. And when people come in looking for an ingredient like that, we're happy to try to steer them towards a substitute that might be similar to eel in flavor and texture and the oiliness, but be a lot more sustainable. So I've really been enjoying getting to experience more of this, learning about how these fish are either caught or farmed or, you know, where they come from, what some of the terminology is. Because, you know, there's so many species of fish out there. And when you use the common names, you know, as opposed to the Latin names, there are different people call the same fish by different names.
Right.
So I've been enjoying all of that.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Dora Swan and Rob Handel of Finn, your fishmonger in Guilderland, New York. Obviously, sustainability, a big issue for you, Dora. Was it always that way when you started this job?
It was. It was very important to us to, it was part of our mission to create an environment where we didn't have to concern ourselves with what we were doing to the world's oceans by pulling up the seafood that we were going to be eating. So there are some fish that people will ask for that we simply won't bring in.
Give me an example.
Well, monkfish was on that list for a while. It was on the avoid list for a while. And about 4 years ago, it came off the avoid list. So it's available again, and we sell it at Finn. An interesting sort of complicated one would be cod. So lots of folks think that their cod is coming from the Cape.
Right.
There's a lot of cod at the Cape. But it's been overfished. So what's happened is that folks have fished through the adult population of cod and are now beginning to fish into the adolescent population of cod. And once we fish out the adolescent population, there's nobody, you know, there's no reproduction happening.
Right.
So we bring our cod in from Iceland.
Which is a great place to get cod.
It's delicious. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
We see in the news all the time, constant rejiggering of the fishing quotas in New England. And it seems to be working in some cases.
Yeah.
Shellfish and lobster and things like that.
Yeah.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. We'll take a quick call or two before we take our first break. We're joined by Dora Swan and Rob Handel of Finn in Guilderland. And let's go to our buddy Jim in North Powell, Vermont. Jim, you're on.
Ray, Doris, Rob.
How you doing?
I've been a fisherman since I was 6 years old, and I'm now in my 70th year. And I've noticed that at most grocery stores, most of the fish is farm-raised. And there's a big, big difference between wild-caught and farm-raised fish. I mean, like, if you take a piece of salmon that is certified as wild-caught and you compare it to a piece of salmon that is raised in a farm tank, there's a big, big difference. What's your take on that?
Well, that's an excellent question. You know, we have a lot of folks that shop with us at Finn who say that they will only purchase wild fish. And, you know, frankly, if all of us only purchase wild, we would fish out the oceans. There wouldn't be any left for anyone. So we've had to develop some really great strategies around aquaculture.
Yep.
So where we are at Finn, we do bring in a lot of wild seafood, but we also bring in responsibly farmed seafood, which, so imagine you're at the farmer's market and you're going to purchase beef at the farmer's market. It's raised on a farm. If you go to your local grocery store and you buy beef, also raised on a farm, completely.
Yeah, but it's a different kind of farm.
Exactly, exactly. And that's, and the same is true for seafood. So
yeah,
there are responsibly farmed species of fish. We actually have a number of them in the shop currently. One of them, you know, it's not wild Alaskan salmon season now, Jim. So it's We bring in a farmed variety from the Bay of Fundy in Canada. It's called Jail Island salmon, and it's no antibiotics, no hormones, no artificial color. And folks who say, oh, I'll only eat wild, will try it and say, you have got to be kidding me. This is fantastic. So we do our best. We do a lot of research to find seafood that people enjoy. And that is sustainable or responsibly farmed.
Well, I must congratulate you on your research and on the methodology of what you are doing. Where are you located?
We're located in Gilderland at 2050 Western Avenue. If you know where Crossgates Mall is, we're about 2 miles up Western Avenue from Crossgates.
It's about 7 miles from North Pownell, Vermont, Jim.
No, it's more like 47 miles from North Carolina.
Yeah, we have tons of folks who shop with us from Vermont. So.
All right, quickly, Rob, before we take our break, you wanted to add something there.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something about the cooking and flavor on farm-raised fish, especially the salmon, for instance. You know, people are often concerned with some of the negative aspects of farm-raised fish, and Dora mentioned about how we source fish that avoid some of those. But on a flavor perspective, there can actually be some positive things to the farm-raised fish. So the salmon, for instance, it tends to be a little fattier than the wild salmon. You know, that wild salmon is out there hunting for food and swimming up rivers. And, you know, where this salmon is raised in the Bay of Fundy, there's a lot of exchange of water. You know, the tides come in pretty strongly and then leave again. So they're being kept in really pristine water, and they're being supplemented with feed, so they have a chance to develop some more fat. And because of that, you don't have to worry about them drying out quite as much when you cook them.
Yeah.
You know, the flavor is more consistent, whereas there's a lot of variation in wild fish. So there are, in addition to some of the sustainability issues, there are some culinary benefits to having this farm-raised fish.
Fat equals flavor, right?
Fat equals flavor, exactly.
We're joined today by Dora Swan and Rob Handel of Finn and Gilderland. We'll be back at 800-348-2551.
Support for WMC comes from Gloriosa & Company, hosting weddings at the Curtis House in Ashfield, Massachusetts, with on-site guest accommodations, local floral design, and weekly summer flower CSA shares also available, gloriosaco.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee, blacksheepdeli.com. Silver Bay YMCA Conference and Family Retreat Center on Lake George, providing a hometown atmosphere for conferences and families for more than a century, silverbay.org. And Culligan Water of the Northeast, for over 80 years, providing pure drinking water as well as options for problem water at home and at work.
You know, Zach, the engineer, sometimes you have to eat lobster roll during the break, so I need a little extra time. Just saying. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Food Friday, Ray Graff with you, and today joined by Dora Swan of Finn and Rob Handel of Finn, and the lobster roll is ridiculously good.
Oh, I'm glad you like it.
Very different than the ones I'm used to up in Southern Maine.
Is that a bad thing?
No, it's a great thing.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Tell us about it.
Rob?
Yeah, sure. So we serve the lobster rolls on a brioche bun that Dora has developed.
Oh, and so good.
It's really incredible. So along in the bun, there's some tarragon and thyme, so you get some of that herb flavor. And then one of the really nice things about the bun is on top, we put a little bit of coarse sea salt. So as you're biting in, you get a little bit of that crunch and a little saltiness right on top there. And then we serve the lobster. We really lightly toss it in a little bit of tarragon mayo. So it gets a little seasoning from that and moistened a bit, but it's not overpowered by the mayonnaise.
I'm getting fennel in this.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. We serve it on a bed of some fennel citrus slaw. So we slice the fennel really thin so you get that crunch without it being too tough. And you get a lot of texture, a lot of different textures, and a lot of flavor that way.
That's genius.
And
the thing is, I remember watching a show about the best lobster rolls on one of the food channels. I don't know which. And, you know, they're all up in New England. You should enter this.
They haven't been to Gilderland yet, right?
You should enter this because that is.
Do you know anybody? You could, forward
Are you
our
kidding
address.
Me? Ooh, I'm in public radio. Do you think I know anyone? All right. This one came in via email and then back to the phones we will go. This is from Jack. I grew up in the Chesapeake Bay crab shed and was an expert in digging out every ounce of meat by the time I was about 5. I have not lived there for the last 40 years and have been tricked over and over again in the Northeast and even in California by what was advertised as Maryland crabs. I've never found anything like what is called Maryland crabs anywhere except in the Chesapeake Bay area, and I occasionally go back to that area and they still taste like my memory. What is it that makes a genuine Maryland crab taste like a Maryland crab?
Well, you know, the thing about seafood, even more so than farm things, you know, people talk about terroir a lot, which is a word that talks about where something is grown or raised. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's wine talk. So you hear that a lot with different grapes taste differently in different regions, and people even extrapolate that to animals raised in certain regions or other vegetables or fruits. But seafood is really dependent on that because the water is so different between Maryland or New York or the Carolinas or wherever. So, I don't know exactly what makes a Maryland crab so special, but it is likely thousands of different variables in Maryland that all come together. So, you know, you could take that same crab and put it in the Long Island Sound, and it's not going to taste the same because it's eating different things. The water is a different temperature. It's, all of these things.
Where did this lobster come from for the lobster roll?
That is Northern Canadian lobster.
That's fantastic.
I'm glad you like it.
Really, really good. Okay, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Adrian in New Paltz. Adrian, you're on.
Hey, hi. I'm a seafood guy myself at Hannaford's. Let's talk about a farm shrimp and our favorite added ingredient, sodium tripolyphosphate. That's quite a mouthful. It enables us to retain moisture. The frozen shrimp that comes in from farm-raised countries like Thailand and Indonesia and Malaysia and whatever, we get our money back at the scale because of the sodium tripolyphosphate that retains the moisture so that when we thaw the fish out, we're in our little display case giving somebody half a pound of shrimp, it helps us make our money back. And isn't that a wonderful issue? And I wonder if your guests would speak to that. And don't forget Scungeely. I think that's octopus. Lately, it's been on our no-sell list.
Okay.
And after Christmas, and ever the seven fishes and the Italians, they all wanted it, and we didn't have it. So a couple of questions.
Yeah.
I'll let you go. Take care, Ray.
Thanks,
hey,
man.
What a great bunch here. You fun drivers, you.
Well, thank you very much for that. All right, so to Adrian's question.
Yeah, sure. So, that is a concern with seafood. People talk a lot about that kind of thing with scallops also. You hear about wet scallops and dry scallops. And, you know, for instance, we only stock the dry scallops, so they haven't been injected with any kind of liquid to add to the weight. With the shrimp, we do carry wild Gulf shrimp that come in from the Gulf of Mexico. Sometimes we get shrimp in from the Carolinas, and those are coming in just like as they're, you know, caught out in the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, we do sometimes have farm shrimp available, and the, you know, the difference between those two items are very clear, and we do our best to educate people about that. In terms of Scungeli, it's actually not an octopus. It's a type of marine snail. So it's related to things like conch, which you see those, you know, big shells that Polynesians make horns out of them.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And Scungeli in specific comes from the Mediterranean. It's a Mediterranean sea snail. And right now there is a shortage of that. You know, we had tried to source some Scungeli for some of our clients, and we called a place in Rhode Island that is famous for their Scungeli. It's a deli that is known for this preparation that they do. And they told us that even they can't get Scungeli right now. So okay. Scungeli is just unavailable, at least in this country, for the time being. We do sometimes carry conch, which comes from the Caribbean, and it's a similar product that's that you could use.
Go ahead.
I just want to add something to the shrimp conversation. Something that we've been we do a lot of education in addition to selling seafood, education about sustainability and responsibility. And with regard to shrimp, there's a huge issue these days about shrimp that comes from Indonesia, that and some from India, that they use slave labor to bring the shrimp to consumers, whether folks are stuck on boats, whether they're at a pier shelling shrimp, whether they're there injecting it with, you know, stuff, as the caller said, to make it retain moisture more.
Yeah.
So we're super careful. I mean, that's one of the pieces about being a sustainable seafood market, that we're super careful about where our product comes from, how it's sourced. We do a lot of research. We look at the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. We look at the NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the Marine Stewardship Council, and the World Wildlife Federation to help us make our decisions about what we're bringing in. We don't just listen to the media that says, oh, don't ever have farmed salmon. You know, that's a really broad, sweeping generalization.
Yeah.
We're super careful about what it is that we bring in, and we do a lot of research. My partner, Peter, actually does a lot of the research around what it is that we bring in and what we don't.
You mentioned the Monterey Bay app, and you're not the first guest to mention that.
Okay.
That's a handy thing to have.
Totally. So if you're not shopping at Finn, where you've built trust in us and you know that what we're doing is the right thing to do and that kind of resonates with you, you can go to any shop anywhere, any supermarket, and you've downloaded the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch app on your smartphone, and you can put in the fish that you want to purchase and see whether it's you know, okay for you to get if it's
very, very cool. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It is Food Friday, and we talk seafood today with Dora Swan and Rob Handel of Finn, your fishmonger in Guilderland, New York. And we go over to Jay in West Hurley. Jay, you're on.
Hi. It's so great that you're so aware of sustainability and sourcing. My question is about that. I understand that many fish, even if they're managed sustainably, certain species, that when they're caught, up to five times as many other species are caught and wind up being thrown away. Are you aware of that? Is that true? And how do you avoid being part of that?
So, what you're talking about is called bycatch, and that refers to, you know, and that's the term for it. And that means that if you're looking for cod and you pull in 100 fish and there's 5 cod and 95 other fish, you just dump the 95 other fish overboard. And sometimes those, you know, that process kills those fish. It's very wasteful. So what we would do is certain species are more prone to bycatch depending on the methods that they use to catch them, you know, if they're using a trawling net or something like that. So we're aware of that, and we don't bring in any species or as few species as possible that are prone to include a lot of bycatch.
Okay.
Would that Monterey app help me find the
absolutely,
species that
yes.
are not
Yeah,
right.
That's something that they would be very concerned with, because that's one of the, you know, in addition to just a shortage of one species, that's a huge problem in the industry in general. So that's accounted for in that app.
Jay, thanks a lot for the call. But I mean, you're going to get some anyway. If you fish, you will catch things that you don't expect to catch. It can't be foolproof.
Sure, but you can be mindful of that and try to mitigate that as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, every time I've fished, I only catch boots and tires. And
that's some good eating there, right?
Delicious. Yeah. Oh, believe me, we've had that on Food Friday. You know, you've listened. Nicole in Nassau. Nicole, you're on.
Yes, hi. Every spring, I am looking forward to shad roe and softshell crab, and I'm finding it more difficult to find in this area, or they just bring it in for a week and then they're gone. Will you be carrying those, and where do they come from?
Well, I regret to tell you that the shad roe, we don't carry that because that is extremely unsustainable.
Shad roe being?
The shad roe, so shad is a type of herring, and I'm also
these
a fisher.
Eggs?
They are eggs. So the roe of any fish refers to fish eggs. And I'm a fisherman also, so I strip fish for stripers in the Hudson River in the spring.
Yeah.
And we have three different kinds of herring in the Hudson, just as an example. And one of them are shad, and you're not allowed to keep those herring to use as bait because they are endangered to some extent.
Okay.
And when you take the eggs, those are, each
future
egg sack
shad.
Has thousands of eggs in it that are future shad, and you can't replenish the population if you're constantly consuming those eggs.
Okay.
So most people who serve that in the spring, they do it for a week or two because there's a deep, especially in this area, there's a deep cultural appreciation for that dish, and they want to be able to appeal to their customers, but it's just not a sustainable product. So we don't carry shad roe. We do have softshell crabs in the spring, and we make sure that we only bring in the males on the softshell crabs. So that leaves the females out there to still reproduce, and that allows that to be a more sustainable way to enjoy that product.
All right, Nicole, thank you for the call. It's Food Friday. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Dora Swan is here from Finn, your fishmonger, and Rob Handel as well. And Maureen in Boston Spa is next. Maureen.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
So I like to eat a lot of fish, but I'm on a budget. So I have purchased sway or sly, I'm not sure how they say it, on a couple of occasions and cooked it. And I will tell you that I don't know whether it's me or my cooking or just the fish. My cats wouldn't even eat it. So I'm just kind of wondering, what is it? And am I just cooking it badly? Is it something that you would recommend?
Before the experts answer, can I just say that even I have a rule. Don't eat it if you don't know what it is. But, all right, experts, go ahead.
Well, I'll be honest. I haven't spent much time researching it because I have had it, and I found it to be pretty pretty subpar. So I've
mushy.
Yeah,
you
haven't
trust your gut on that one.
Yeah, I haven't found it worth the effort to research it because it's just not a quality product. Something that we do carry. A lot of people are familiar with tilapia, which is sold in every grocery store these days. It's another pretty mild fish, and we carry a tilapia that's farmed in Costa Rica. And in Costa Rica, they have a lot of regulations in place to ensure that that's a quality product. And the fish that we have, it's a world away from the tilapia that's commonly found in stores. It's much thicker. It's much firmer. It has actual flavor to it. So, there's an example of the species of fish counts for part of it, but the raising, the farm management counts for another part. Sorry.
Do
I
we
know
where
swai.
Where swai originates from? Do
we
know anything about
Vietnam?
So, oh, really?
Yeah. So
we
don't bring a lot of our fish in from Asia because they have totally different regulations or lack thereof on the fish.
Okay.
Tilapia, for
Thank
example.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Maureen. We appreciate
tilapia,
it.
Tilapia, for example, folks know of it because it comes from Asia, right? And they have a negative connotation about fish that comes from Asia for good reason. So tilapia is a fish that can be raised sustainably in Central America or the United States. And so ours is from Costa Rica, yeah.
We are joined today by Dora Swan and Rob Handel of Finn, your fishmonger in Guilderland, New York. It's a seafood edition of Food Friday, 800-348-2551. John in Rexford. John, you're next.
Yes, hello. Just had a question. I do a lot of fishing, and we keep and eat a lot of perch, walleye, crappie. And just wondering, is it safe to make ceviche from freshwater fish?
It can be safe. So the USDA FDA recommendation on that is that you have to freeze the fish at a certain temperature for a certain amount of time.
Ceviche being?
Let me talk a little bit about what ceviche is for some of the listeners who may not be familiar. Ceviche is a dish that originated in South America, and it's little cubes of raw fish that you marinate in citrus juice. Mm. And the acid from the citrus juice mimics cooking. You know, the fish turns opaque, it gets more firm, but the texture is a little different, and then you serve it cold. So it's this very refreshing dish. It's great in the summer. And the FDA recommends, don't quote me on these times and temperatures. If you look up, you can look it up online and find the exact numbers here, but it's something like negative 10 degrees Fahrenheit for 7 days. And what that does is the freshwater fish are more susceptible to parasites than saltwater fish. So that would kill all of the parasites in that fish, making it safe to treat like ceviche.
Okay.
So I have done it with pickerel. Pickerel is a fish that has a lot of little Y bones, and that acid would actually dissolve the bones, and you don't have to worry about the bones.
Oh, neat.
But you do have to make sure a lot of home freezers don't get down to negative 10 degrees, which presents a bit of a problem. But if you go online, you can look up the exact recommendations on that. Otherwise, if the fish is just fresh, you are taking a risk by making ceviche with it.
Sure. I just thought it'd be great with walleye. To try it sometime.
Yeah, walleye would be a great fish for it. You just have to make sure you get it down to that right temperature.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, John. We appreciate the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. I don't know of any home freezer that'll go 10 degrees below zero.
I have a thermometer in mine, and mine
you mean
goes...
10 degrees below freezing or 10 degrees below zero?
10 degrees below zero, negative 10 degrees.
How can you... No.
Well, most home freezers go down to about zero.
Really?
As, you know, and there's a difference between the freezer in your refrigerator, which is really just meant for like holding ice cream.
Yeah.
And then there's a difference between a standalone freezer that you might purchase as an upright freezer or a chest freezer. Some of those newer chest freezers and stuff, they will go down that low.
Okay. This is an interesting program, and we are joined today by Dora Swan and Rob Handel of Finn, Your Fishmonger. It's a Food Friday, and we'll get back to the phones in just a moment. 800-348-2551.
Support for WMC comes from Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and blends, specializing in garlic and hot pepper blends, rollingrocksalt.com for upcoming events. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grant Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. The Egremont Barn, presenting the BTUs Friday, February 9th at 8 p.m. Open mic every Wednesday night. Tickets and information at theegremontbarn.com. And Big Elm Brewing, tap room open Thursday through Saturdays, noon to 6 p.m. Crafting ales and lagers in Sheffield, Massachusetts since 2012. BigElmBeer.com.
Why don't you tell me about the smoked salmon or the smoked scallops before we got back into the program here? I'll have them in a moment. This is fun. This is Dora Swan and Rob Handel of Finn, Your Fishmonger on a Food Friday, a seafood edition, 800-348-2551. What I did have was very interesting, and that's poke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's called poke. It's spelled P-O-K-E.
Yeah.
So we'll frequently have people come into the shop asking for some of the poke.
Yeah. Right.
That's a completely different dish.
Okay.
It is a different dish.
Really?
So it's a Hawaiian dish, and I have family in Hawaii, and I first had it there years and years ago. And in Hawaii, you go to any grocery store, you know, everything from the smallest little grocery store that has a deli counter, and they have this poke available. And traditionally, it's made with ahi tuna, so it's this deep ruby red tuna,
mm-hmm.
and it's seasoned with sesame oil and soy sauce and seaweed and sesame seeds. And, it's just chopped up pieces of the fish seasoned with this sauce and left raw.
Yeah.
So it's like a sushi or a sashimi salad almost. So we have different poke every week. Right now we have a salmon poke with ginger and lime. Mm. So it's seasoned with some fish sauce, the ginger, the lime, scallions, and it's a really light, refreshing way to enjoy the fish. Next week, I'm not sure exactly what we'll have, but we'll have a different variety of poke, so it's constantly changing. And we sell it out of our shop case, either by the pound or as a poke bowl, where we combine it with other things. Sometimes it's a type of slaw or a salad or some kind of seasoned rice. So it can either be a meal or a little snack. Or
very delicious and very rich and tasty. And, you know, I'm not much of a raw fish eater. In fact, I've only had it twice. This was the second time.
Was it?
Both times on this program.
Awesome.
Both times I liked it, though.
Good.
There you
That's
go.
Awesome.
All right, this one came in via email, and then back to the phones we will go. This is from Alan. Call me old-fashioned, but I've always taken the advice of a wise old woman I knew many decades ago. Her advice was, if you do not see a sea, do not order the seafood. I still like her advice, but I do want the panel's response. Where is the Albany Sea anyway? I've never seen it myself. And that's from Alan.
So the awesome thing about today is that we have airplanes that can bring us our salmon from Alaska in 16 hours, actually right out of the water. So transportation and refrigeration have really been a boon to the seafood industry. We're not that far from Boston. We bring all of our seafood in from Boston. It comes in twice a week, a day or two out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes on cold trucks. We bring it to our shop on a cold truck.
It comes iced down. They ship it in insulated boxes filled with ice. So it's right about at 32 degrees.
Yep.
And, you know, Boston is 4 hours away. So
right.
You may not be able
on
to.
On a good day.
On a good day.
Yeah.
So you may not be able to quite see the sea, but it's there, not very far from us.
All right. Well, I can always expect a good snarky question from our correspondent, Alan, anyway. Let's go back to the phones and Morgan in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Morgan, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really loving the show.
Thank you.
And it's I started out my life in Maine and migrated south.
Yeah,
I intend to continue the migration as I get older. Anyway, the question I had is: are you familiar with the Green Wave organization, and do you purchase from them?
I'm not familiar with it, and we don't purchase from them. Can you tell me more about it?
Yeah, sure. So Green Wave was started by a guy by the name of Bren Smith. He's done a couple of TED Talks, at least one, and he received the Aldo Leopold Award for his work in sustainable fishery development. He started out as a commercial fisherman at the age of 14 up in Newfoundland and worked his way through the system and realized that what he was doing was just devastating the world,
okay.
The world of fish anyway. So he started an ocean farming process working with commercial fishermen and environmental engineer type folks and started this organization. And they have a community sustainability goal as well as environmental sustainability.
Yeah.
And they'll work with, you know, folks in fished out areas, but I believe they're based in Hartford, Connecticut currently, and work with a lot of fish folks up and down the East Coast.
Well, that's great to know. We'll certainly look into that. Thank you.
Thanks, Morgan. We appreciate the call. Our number here on Food Friday is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Jim in Adams, Massachusetts. Hello, Jim.
Yay, Ray.
How you doing?
I called in a week too early last week on your cooking show on last Food Friday.
Why?
Well, I had that little trick I told you about eating the same lobster three times over.
Oh, yes. Well, you might as well tell us again.
Okay. I want to emphasize, I hope that the people who were on the show last week, the two restaurants there, if they're listening, emphasize that when you steam or boil your lobster, you hang on to all the water that you boil that lobster in. You have your lobster itself.
Yeah.
And then you take everything that's left over, all the shells, everything. And you put it back in the water, you simmer it, you get yourself a very rich stock to make multiple.
Oh.
Then you take all the shells and whatever, you strain them out of the stock through cheesecloth or some fine mesh cloth.
Yeah.
And you take all those shells and everything, you put them on in little scraps of meat or whatever, put them on a cookie sheet and dry them in your oven for a little while. And you grind it all up, shells and all.
Huh.
And then you strain that again so you can get any of the larger bits out that aren't grindable up, you know. And you just got a very, very fine powder.
Okay, so let's
mix that with your butter or whatever else you want to make other dishes with. So you're eating the same lobster three times.
Let's see what our experts say.
Well, I can assure you that none of our lobster shells go to waste.
Excellent.
I do that also. What I usually do, another thing you can do before you put the shells back in the water is you can roast them a bit. And you put them in the oven. You cook them until they start to get fragrant. They'll start to change color a little bit. And that brings out a lot more flavor on them also.
Wow.
Yeah, so we use, you know, we go through a ton of lobster and we save every last piece to make stock and all that kind of thing. With.
All right, Jim, you had another question.
I also discovered the best way to cook your shellfish like clams and such is not to boil or steam them in a pot of water, but to put them on a grill or a flat top.
That's a wonderful way to do it.
Yeah. You agree, Dora?
Totally. How easy
intense
can it be?
Intense flavor.
Right, and then you just throw your clams on the grill, doesn't matter, upside down, right side up, and within a minute or two,
they open
up, right? And then you can stand right around the grill. Oh, it's just so good. Yeah. You just have to be careful about cooking them too long, right? Because then they'll dry out.
Oh,
boy.
Open.
And oysters, too, you can do on the grill. They don't open up as much as clams do. But
10 times the flavor, Ray.
All right. Well, Jim, thanks a lot. We appreciate the call, buddy. Have a great weekend. And Valentine's Day are coming up, so oysters are going to be on the menu.
Holy cow, are they ever. Or holy mackerel, I should say.
Holy oyster. You have East and West Coast. What's the difference? I didn't know there was a difference.
Who knew, right?
Tell me.
You know, some folks will try an oyster and say, yeah, I tried oysters, and I don't really like
them. I'm not a fan.
You're not?
No.
Oh, well, this will be interesting because we happen to bring some East and West Coast oysters with us.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, sure.
It's a pity the show's almost over.
Oh, darn it. Is it really?
When's Ray doesn't want to try the oysters.
So what's the difference?
So the West Coast oysters are generally a little more mild. They sometimes have sort of a cucumber kind of melony finish to them.
Yeah.
The shells are so pretty. The shells are really fluted, like a beautiful skirt, you know, frilled like that. The East Coast oysters have more of a saline kind of briny flavor.
Yeah.
That's the oyster that most people are familiar with.
I think that's
the
ones I had. I'm not a big fan of it.
And the further north you go on the East Coast, the more briny it is. The further south you go, the less briny the oyster is.
Interesting.
Yeah, so what we have at the shop is we do have both East and West Coast oysters, and they're very different. But what we do is we have a salinity scale, and it's based on the salinity of the ocean. So pure ocean water is about 3.5% salt. And what we do is on the board where we list all of our oysters, we also list what the salinity is. So the West Coast oysters are closer to 2.3, 2.5, 2.8. And then you'll see the East Coast oysters can be 2.8, 3.0. You know, they have a higher salt percentage. So people come in and they say, you know, I haven't had any of these. We'll have sometimes, you know, up to 8 different kinds of oysters. And they'll say, I've only had Blue Points. You know, I've never had any of these other oysters. And we can say, okay, well, you know, the Blue Points tend to be here on the scale. And we have these other oysters. They come from a similar location.
Very
and we can really walk them through that whole process.
We're joined today by Rob Handel and Dora Swan of Finn in Guilderland, New York. And back to the phones we go. Jeremy in Chatham. Jeremy, you're on.
Hi. I found a source for actual real dayboat scallops. I can mention the name. I don't know if that's okay or not.
I suppose.
It's called Down East Dayboat Scallops. Here's the deal. The lady mentions that the scallopers go out for maybe up to a week. So even if you get it fresh off the boat, the scallops could be a week old.
Okay.
She only sells scallops from December to March that are caught in Maine, within the 3-mile limit, and ships them out to you in 24 hours.
All right. Well,
they're unbelievable. They're actually just, you cannot believe the taste of them.
Well, thank
They're so good.
Thanks for that, man. We appreciate the call. Any comment on that?
I'm sure they're wonderful. Ours are you know, as local as you can get. We get them a day or two out of the water, and they're great.
What's your favorite way to prepare a scallop?
Well, you know, it's hard to choose favorites. We do make occasionally we'll make a ceviche with the scallops, and that's kind of a nice way to enjoy them because that preserves some of the delicate nature of the scallops. And then we also, you know, give them a good hard sear. On the menu every day we have a broiled scallop dish where we broil them in a mixture of white wine and butter and olive oil and herbs and things like that. So they're wonderful. Okay. And they really are a world apart from what you see that are called wet scallops that have the water added to them. There's really no comparison.
Let's go over to Rich in Wilton. Rich, you're on.
Oh, my God, that's true. It's a miracle. Oysters, do you have them in stock? And how can I make a quick oyster stew? I grew up on it, but I don't know how to make it.
Quick oyster stew.
Yeah, so we do have oysters in stock. We talked about the fresh, you know, live oysters in the shell, but we also carry Maryland shucked oysters. So if you're looking to make something like an oyster stew and you don't want to sit there shucking oysters, you know, you can come in and we can sell you by the pound, you know, however many you'd like. And
so how do you do a quick stew? We only have a minute or two here.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, you would take some onion, maybe some celery, saute that, throw the oysters in, some fish stock, a little cream, maybe some potato if you wanted, and just give it a quick simmer. And, you know, if you'd like certain herbs, you can add certain herbs, a little bit of wine, something along those lines.
What herbs would you add?
I might not add herbs to an oyster stew personally. If you wanted to, something like parsley is a pretty mild flavored herb. Things like tarragon and thyme go pretty well with seafood in general.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Rich. We appreciate the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go over to John in Liberty. John, you're on.
Hi, Ray.
Hello.
Great show,
thank
as
you.
Usual.
Appreciate it.
I just want to ask your guest, great guest, by the way, Ray.
Well, thank you.
I just want to ask your guest about Bickerel. I didn't know I was the only one who loved Bickerel. I love pickling it, but I have no I want to know if there is a quick recipe to pickling fish, and also about the stripers I fished the Hudson. And I love the slot limit. The slot limit this year, whereas they you have to throw back the big ones, and you have to keep. I end up keeping, you know, the smaller fish, and I thought I found them more tastier. I'll take my answer off on the air, Ray. But thank you very much for the show.
Thanks a lot. All right, pickling.
Sure. So yeah, I do love to pickle. Pickerel, which is a bit of a tongue twister. And the reason why you would do that is, like I mentioned before, there's little bones that are almost impossible to get out on a pickerel without losing all the meat, and the acid will dissolve those. Now, this is a case where the FDA may not approve of pickling because of that parasite issue.
Yeah.
A lot of people do it anyway. I've personally done it. I wouldn't recommend doing it.
Could you also freeze them below zero?
Exactly. If you freeze them, it's perfectly safe. I just don't want to tell somebody to do something that's not FDA approved.
And our legal department thanks you. Thank you very much for that.
But yeah, so there are a lot of recipes online if you do a quick Google search. A basic recipe would be water, vinegar, sugar, salt, some pickling spices. You make a brine, you put the fish in there with some sliced onion maybe, and let it sit for anywhere from a few days to a week, and you'll have a beautiful pickled fish.
All right, over to Betty in Kerhoxen. Betty, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for the show. Ate a lot of Hudson River shad and shad roe. Very sorry to see that that has changed with overfishing and everything. I was wondering what we should expect from the changing laws that are going to come from Washington, D.C., and the safety of fish, eating fish.
All right. Well, your guess is as good as ours. There's a lot of talk about a lot of different changes in the law, and I don't think anybody has a real clear answer on that. So we'll just have to wait and see.
All right. And I saw two shrugs there, so I think it's fair to say that the jury is out.
The industry hasn't really told us what direction it's going in that regard.
All right, one more call very quickly here, and then let's talk about your menu and upcoming events at Finn. We'll go quickly to Jim in Albany. Jim, you got about 30 seconds, buddy.
Hey, Ray, thanks for the show.
Sure.
Hey, what kind of fish do we catch around New York City in the Hudson River and the Atlantic?
In the Hudson River, there's no real commercial fishing in the Hudson River. There's recreational fishing. there's the DEC has different recommendations depending on where you are in the Hudson River. A lot of that is due to the PCBs that have been dumped in the river years ago up here towards the Capital District. You know, where I live down by Catskill, they have recommendations. You're allowed to eat like one catfish per month without having a fear of PCBs.
What about New York City?
You know, there's not quite as big of a worry about that. Most people that I know don't want to risk eating something like catfish. They'll eat the striped bass because that species just comes up the river for a very short time in the spring. They're not living in the river, consuming all of those pollutants all year round.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
how about oysters in New York? They used to be famous for oysters back around 150 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's as people have. You know, there's a lot more people now than there were 150 years ago. So there are still oysters that are farmed in the Long Island Sound. You know, Blue Point oysters, everybody are familiar with those. There's some other oyster farms. They're out there.
Okay. And in the minute we have left here, Dora, this beautiful new menu, I guess it's not live yet. But
it's not.
Tell us about this.
You've seen it now. You can't tell anyone.
I'm sworn to secrecy.
Okay.
It looks nice.
Yeah, so we've been listening to what our customers have been telling us over the past couple of years, and they'd like to see, they've been asking us for a while what restaurants serve our seafood, and currently there aren't any except us. So we're taking that and running with it and developing a number of new dishes in addition to the ones that we currently have, like the lobster roll you tasted.
Which is fabulous.
I'm so glad you like it.
Can I mention one, or is it a secret?
You can mention just one. I can't wait to see what you're going to say. Point at it first.
This one.
Yeah, you can talk about that one.
The smoky brown sugar salmon?
Yeah, that's on our current menu.
Oh, boy.
Folks really like that
one. Did you bring any of that?
No.
We'll bring some next time.
Next time.
Brought oysters, but not that. Sorry.
Well, this was fun. I got to say, so great having you both here. What is the website?
The website is finshops, with an S at the end of chops, .com, finshops.com.
Well, Dora Swan, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Ray.
Rob Handel, we did not have one call about tripe today, so
it's
I consider
blessing.
This a victory for everyone.
Absolutely.
Support comes from River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food and co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, featuring over 80 local farms and fresh food vendors every week all winter long, open every Saturday 9 to 2 in the Troy Atrium, troymarket.org. Thanks again to Rob Handel and Dora Swan of Finn and Gilderland for being with us today. Thank you for the great calls and emails. Always smart listeners, always fun to talk to you, and have a great weekend. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Beautiful job this week. Barb King took your calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Alan will be back in the big chair on Monday for a Medical Monday. Have yourself a great weekend. Stand by for news.